to the city of sin. Living in the city of angels, and you'll still hear them sing. Welcome to the city of sin. Living in the city of angels, and you'll still hear them sing. Lullaby to the night.
Welcome to the G Lou Show podcast, episode 23. Tonight we have a very special guest joining us. Goes by the brother by the name of JT Thompson. First of all, he's an artist. When I say artist, he's a music artist and an actor. And man, he just has an incredible story and director. Let me put that to his title as well. Before we bring him on, I want to bring in my co-host, Miss Queen Jean, who also put this all together as well. So I want to welcome her to the show. Good evening, Queen.
Good evening, Philu. How are you?
I'm doing great this evening. Really looking forward to this. You know, I'm doing good, but it's a lot, you know, again, more killings today by the police officers. I'm sure everybody's aware. So, again, this show is only, it's right on time for what we need to discuss. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And this incredible story he has, and this short film. He has two films, but the first one, The Hands Up Don't Shoot, oh my God, I want to really touch on this because this really ties into everything going on, you know. So, yeah. Go ahead, Queen.
Hey, welcome to everyone who's listening to the podcast. And we want to say welcome to JT Thompson for accepting our invitation to come onto the podcast. So with that being said, let's bring JT in. JT, are you out there?
Y'all hear me? Can you guys
yes,
hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Good evening.
Yes, what's going on, you guys? How y'all doing?
Good and
doing
yourself?
Doing good.
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Man, just moving and pushing. Pushing. That's it.
Yes.
JT.
It's good to have you.
Yes, it's a blessing to be here, man.
Yeah,
me too. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you for Queen Jean, Jean Berkley, for putting it together. You know, she's a friend of the family. But I was laughing. You know, nothing's a laughing matter right now, but I was laughing because I'm tripping on when I, you know, she told me about you. And then she's like, yeah, the guy that was on the College Hill. And I'm like, whatever, okay, I'll check it because, you know, I remember that show. I used to watch it. But it was a few of them.
Yeah.
But once I saw it and saw you, I was like, wow, automatically I remembered you because that's really the season. That's really the one I really watched probably the most. It was some more on there, but I really remember
yeah,
that one. I remember you in there because I remember you, the dude from California. So of course, I was watching, but it was just like really you stood out on that show, man. You know what I mean? And I was like,
yeah,
wow, that's what's up, man. That's what's up to bring
you,
it all
man,
full
I really
circle, you know?
That, man. Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate you for that.
Yeah,
JT
and then
put that California love there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he
right.
was a player on that. He was a cool player. Like, you know, he stood out on the show. Even though I think you had a girlfriend at the time when you were on the show, but you had a lot of pressure
on
there. Being on the show,
two.
And you was trying to hold it together and be on the show, and you know all the ladies was liking you because you was the little dude, so you was doing your thing on there, man. Big ups, man. You did your thing on that.
He went in there as a smooth operator, you know, went in there.
Nah.
Yeah, went in there with that Cali love and just, you know, bought out that Jamaican accent and
ruffled
a few feathers on there. And
yeah.
But you stood out. What I liked about you, even on that show, even though it's a reality show, and you know it gets crazy and they want everybody to be doing crazy stuff like the other dude on there. He was a little extra. But you stood up. You were like, you know, really solid about your beliefs and everything. You did your thing and played around,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of stood for something on the show. You know what I mean? That's what helped you stand out.
Thank you, brother, for recognizing that, Gino. I appreciate you.
Very
good.
Yeah, because
sure,
you're very
sure.
unique. A unique,
yeah, and it's
very
it's crazy.
Unique you are.
Thank you, thank you. And it's crazy too, man, because a lot of a lot of people, man, they gave me hell after that show, man. I was every hypocrite. It was crazy, man. I couldn't even step in the church no more after that show. It was crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you, speaking on that show, like, what's the outcome of when you do shows like that? I know it's reality, but it was based on college as well. You guys were in college and all of that. But, like, what's the outcome of a show like that? Do they keep up with you? I know the show went off the air and all that, but is it like a something after that they follow up or even care about the people on the show, or is it just a show and it's done, or what?
Man, nah, not at all. Once it's done, that's how they are. They just kind of just throw us to the wolves. The only thing they guaranteed is on the show was exposure, man. That's it at the end of the day. A lot of people don't know. A lot of the students, a lot of the roommates wasn't even going to class. And, you know, the production of College Hill ended up getting into it with the actual university, the HBCU, because the HBCU was misled into thinking and believing that BET was going to really push this whole black education thing, and they didn't. It was all drama on it. Yeah.
Mm.
So after the show, man, they kind of throw us to the wolves.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, earlier today I was looking on YouTube, and I did find something on YouTube where they asked what happened to the cast after that show. Did you happen to see that? Because they were giving everybody what everybody was doing. Yeah, they were saying what everybody was doing. One of the young ladies is a she's into real estate now. Let me see if I wrote her name down. She's into real estate. Fallon. They talked about Fallon.
Yeah,
that's what she's doing. And then they spoke about what you're doing, being having your film. So they did bring it up. It is on YouTube. They're talking about what happened to the cast after that. So,
It
is
cool.
out there.
Because I know here recently, since all the streaming and stuff cracked off, they have put the show on BET Plus. So once they end up putting it on there for everybody to stream. Yeah, the stream during the pandemic, everybody kind of, you know, refreshed everybody's mind about how to
reintroduce.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they were trying to get us back together to do some type of reality show Vine or just to see where we at now. It was, but it didn't really go nowhere. It was just something online that they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, too. I've seen some more stuff you did I wasn't aware of, like that you were also on Pimp My Ride. You know what I mean? You tell us about that.
Yeah.
And was that before or after? And was all of this part of your journey to getting into the business of acting and Hollywood, per se, or taking different steps? Like, how did these things come together, even for you to get on that show and then get on College Hill? Was this all part of the plan for you?
Okay, so the first initial show, I was on Pimp My Ride. That was the first show I ever did. And I just, with that, man, it was kind of just a blessing. I just went to the auditions, took my card, showed them, and they ended up picking me. So I really was going genuinely to see about getting my car fixed.
Okay.
And, all praises to the Most High. They ended up selecting me, and I was able to be a part of the show. And out of all the shows and reality stuff I've been on, you know, MTV was real good to me. You know, the production was good.
Okay.
Exhibit was super cool, and it was a fun experience. And then shortly after Pimp My Ride, I ended up getting casted to be a part of this MTV show called Yo Mama. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Where they be clowning with the dude, the Mexican dude. And
yeah,
the homie
exactly.
Been in a lot of movies, too. I forgot his name. Yeah.
Yeah, the black dude. So I ended up getting casted in that at a church shut-in. We was having a 7-7 with all the youth and the young adults at my church, and MTV came to the church in Compton, and they had an open casting call inside of the church. And I went, was doing all the bagging in there, ended up becoming one of the finalists on that, and they ended up selecting me on that show. So that was just some spare of the moment stuff I wanted to do in church. And then shortly after that, maybe probably about 6 months after, that's when I got hit up to audition for College Hill. And then I did College Hill, did about 3 auditions, and they finally selected me and then shipped me out to the Virgin Islands or whatever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the purpose of the Virgin Islands thing? Was it, they were saying it was a school out there? Like, what was that about? Was that real?
Well, it was real because we was actually in college, but it was up to us if we really wanted to take going to school serious or not. So my whole reason and purpose of going to that show was to basically get out the hood, get out of South Central, man, or off the east side, and see just other sides of the world, man, see different parts of the world, and to really get that college feel, you know, because I wanted to be one of the first in my family to actually be, you know, to attend an HBCU and get that whole feel, man, of just what it's like being black outside of South Central in the hood. So that was my whole reason of going, and it ended up turning, like, into some whole other stuff when I went. Although I did finish school when I went out there. I finished my classes.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Hey, well, speaking of all that, we kind of jumped ahead, but let me go back a bit because we introduced you, but we got to get a formal introduction from you, man. Let us know if you talk about the East Side and South Central. Give the people, you know, kind of a bit of backdrop of you, where you grew up at and everything like that for the people who don't know.
Okay, yeah. My name is Jay Fifth, you know, worldly known as JT Thompson. I'm a hip-hop recording artist, a director, producer, screenwriter, proud father, and strong man of God, disciple of God. And born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, on the east side of Los Angeles. We call that the Low Bottoms. That's like the much more gritty and grimy side of South Central Los Angeles that a lot of people don't like coming to. But that's the side of L.A. I'm from. And I've been in film for about 10 years. The film journey started after College Hill. I've been pretty much doing music and recording all my life. So, you know, that's pretty much it in a nutshell, man. Just a strong disciple of the Most High, pushing and protesting through my gifts that the Most High has given me, you know, using my music and film to reach as many souls as I can, you know, to wake our people.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like a Black Moses or something.
That part. Hey, also, growing up in South Central on the Low Bottoms on the east side, you know, I want to ask you, how were you able to, kind of a two-part question, how were you able to, first of all, escape, you know, what is so hard to escape and what a lot of black young men fall into in South Central L.A., period. Not all, but a lot do, but especially in certain parts, like you said, the Low Bottoms. How were you able to escape that gang life or gang culture or get involved with gangs, and even if you did, not get involved heavily where it consumed you? And then second of all, with that being said, who were some of your influence or maybe some of the people that helped you not choose that direction and see a better way?
Man, I would say it was three things that kind of kept me out of the whole gangbanging thing, because I say about 95% of my friends, man, they are all affiliated or they're gang members. But just I say the first and most important thing that kept me from that was one, my parents. I was raised in a two parent home. You know, they were strict with good reason, and they just kept me out of all that nonsense. So they taught me that, you know, being around that strong foundation. My pops always gave me that, you know, that ultimatum of choice. If you're gonna do something, man, do it wholeheartedly. So if you're gonna do music, put your all into it. If you're gonna play sports, put your all into it. If you're gonna be gang banging, don't be out here faking the funk. Really be in it. We really be in it.
Right.
And I knew if I did the gangbanging stuff, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be dead or in jail because I wouldn't be playing around with it. So having a strong foundation, you know, that's all because of my mother and father. Then I would say second is music, man. I've just, you know, music is through the veins, man. Growing up listening to hip-hop and soul, rap, all that, man, I have a real old soul. So I'm 34 years old. Physically, man, I just got the soul of a 65-year-old. And that's all too because of my parents and them keeping that music around me, growing up, listening to oldies, the Shy Lights, Dramatic, Stylistics, all those type of things. That kept me out the street.
Come on now.
And that gave me just this whole thing of, you know, using my imagination with music. So while everybody was out in the street gangbanging, I'll be, man, saying, damn, I'm practicing moves like the Dramatics, the Temptations, and trying to dance and sing like Bobby Brown. I was trying to hold my craft to become one of them. And then third is sports, man. My father kept me in sports, year-round sports.
Okay.
I was really good in football and basketball. He kept me in it year-round. So all those things played a very significant part in what kept me out the streets and gangbanging. And just having that fine balance, man. I grew up with a lot of homeboys that are doing life right now. And these are like sandbox friends I grew up with. And they're doing life because they chose to not play around with their path. They really went wholeheartedly into it, you know. And just because of them being foolish and not knowing certain things, it messed up their whole life. And that's another thing that kind of deterred me way away from the whole gangbang experience.
Yeah, that will do it, yeah. Man. Having a strong foundation, you know, parents in the household, you know, that's really a big factor in, you know, what helps young men, you know, so everybody doesn't have
yeah.
that. Some
yeah.
do and still take that route, but that's definitely a big factor, you know. So I just want to ask you that. And shout out to
yeah.
your parents, man, your mom and dad, and everybody who had a part in helping you, help raise you, bro. Much respect.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
appreciate
yeah.
it.
I'm going to turn
but,
over to Queen
I know
Dina.
I know you
asked
a
question. Go ahead, bro.
No, oh, no, I'm sorry. I say I know you had said about the inspiration. Like I said, my father, of course, my mother and father were a big inspiration. My uncles, the twins, one of them is the one who the film Hands Up, Don't Shoot was based off or whatever, because
okay.
they were active gang
right.
members in the street. Yeah. So, but they didn't want me around that type of stuff, and they didn't influence that type of lifestyle. They influenced me to really push hard with my dreams of being whatever it is I aspire to be, you know. So it's them, my younger brother, this family, really. Just family really having a strong supporting cast, you know, growing up, that's they who did it. My football coaches, you know, pastors, it's a lot of people, man, that played a significant role in that.
Right, right. Hey, I got one more then before I turn it over to Queen. Speaking of music,
okay.
you're a rapper or artist, who were some of your or one of your biggest inspirations in music, more so rap, since that's what you do, you can say that really
mm-hmm.
inspired you, that you really respected on the mic, that you not patterned yourself after, but just really respected and made you want to do it even more?
Oh, man, that's a tricky question. Now, we talking about hip-hop or rappers or rap?
Just period, but I know you do
just
hip-hop,
period.
So I know really you got a favorite
yeah.
rapper. I know you got a favorite rapper, you know what I mean? So just,
oh, yeah.
I know it, with hip-hop, it could be so much that influences you, but we all probably got that one or two favorite rappers that we really always respected,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I would have to say DMX. I'm a huge
DMX. Wow.
And
okay.
Yes, DMX. DMX
wow.
is one of my tops. Yeah, DMX and
okay.
MC Hammer. I know the dynamic is super different, but it's
wow.
for good reason why I love them both. Yeah. yeah.
Okay. Okay. Break that down for me, please.
And I say MC Hammer, man. When I was little, I used to love to dance, and
right, right.
I used to always put on his music videos too.
Oh wow, so, Queen, we lost JT somehow.
He'll come back.
yeah, I don't know. He must have been got excited and probably pushed the wrong button or something. I don't know what happened right there.
He'll be back, but he does have a real prolific journey. You know, he comes from good family. His
right,
mom,
right.
his dad, his brother, his sister. I mean, there's some real, when I say genuine, humbling people, like from way back in the day, those type of people, beautiful souls, that's who his
right.
family is. I mean, there's nothing fake about them. What you see is what you get. They're party people. They're beautiful people, and it has really been a blessing and an honor for me to have met them, and I actually met them on Facebook through another friend of mine, and the two of us, my friend Jackie and Lisa, we all hook up. Every time I go to California, we hook up and we just hang out and just have the best of times. You know, they're real beautiful people. JT, you back?
Yes, I'm
back.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
I said, yeah, he might have got too excited. He was breaking
yeah.
it down and may have just hit the wrong button or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right,
he
exactly.
wanted to
see
no,
Hammer
move. Man,
yeah,
that's what it was. yeah.
I actually love Hammer too. I can't even front. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I was saying Hammer because man, his music. A lot of people don't know his music was really conscious. He didn't cuss when he rapped. His
mm-hmm.
music was about uplifting his people. He always did songs. I wouldn't
right.
say gospel.
You're actually, right,
more hip hop gospel related about God.
Right.
But if you really listen to his music, he talked about really uplifting his people and helping people and doing right by his people.
Yep.
And then just on
yep.
a personal note, just the type of man he was. He wasn't no coward. He wasn't afraid,
right.
man. He looked out for his people.
Yeah, I heard cold
and
stories.
He's
I heard cold stories about
yeah.
him. They don't get it from Hammer, though, by the music.
Nah, real
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, you're right.
Real talk. Yeah. He's from the streets. He's from the east side of Oakland.
Yeah.
So, you know, and just him as a father and a husband, man. He was one of the few rappers I know that I followed that's been extremely faithful to his wife and loyal to his wife. You never heard him in no controversy or nothing besides the bankruptcy thing. But other than that,
right,
he's been a model black man, you know, that I always looked up to as far as in that facet. He never detoured. Right. When he got on death row, he stuck to his guns and was still the same dancing hammer. He didn't let Suge Knight manipulate him or change how he would flow or anything. He was still the same hammer. And then when it comes to DMX, yep, just from a lyrical perspective, X is, man, he's top notch and just a real passionate MC who means everything he spits. And if you listen to a lot of early DMX stuff, he has a prayer on every album. So another man of God,
yep,
that's, you know, of course,
yep,
was going through his stuff musically if you listen, but just a dope MC, a hell of a performer.
Yep.
You know, and if I have to go back, man, back in the day, because I listened to a lot of 80s hip hop. I grew up listening to, man, Melly Mel from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Oh, wow.
Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Rakim.
Okay. Okay.
KRS-One, Curtis Blow. Yeah, like I'm hip hop,
okay,
like that. So that's all. Yeah. All
right, homie.
Master Ace.
All right. All right.
All that,
all right,
man. So yeah, I'm a hip hop head, man.
34,
Quest,
huh? 34.
School.
You really,
yeah,
are old soul, bro. You're 34. That's,
yeah,
that's real, bro.
Yeah,
that's what's up,
yeah,
homie.
Man. That's real
hip
hop right there, man. So I still to this day listen to all that.
Right. Let me ask you one more thing on the music tip and hip hop, and then I'm gonna turn it over to Queen. But I get passionate about this music,
mm-hmm,
as well. But let me ask you this, man. The passing of the homie about a year ago. You know I'm going with this. What was his impact on you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about him as an artist? And what is his impact has meant since his passing, man? The homie Nip.
Man, Nip, he played I didn't know him personally, and some of the content he rapped about, I wasn't really a fan of, but just him as,
okay,
a man and what he stood for, I really,
right,
rock with. And just him looking out,
right,
for his section and his people, I really was for that, man. And
right,
it was just devastating. It was like, man, I was younger when Pac died, but I seen what,
right,
he did to the city of LA and South Central.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
that's kind of what it was, the same thing with Nipsey when he passed away. You know,
right,
and what hurt more is the fact that, you know, everybody, we start having our theories about it because a lot of people from LA knew what he was attempting to do to our whole community,
yeah,
and for our community. You know what,
yeah,
I'm saying? So we understand it was foul play. It was just like, damn, man, because it's right when this man started blossoming into who he was potentially going
to really
be.
Really supposed to be.
They took him out,
right,
before his time. Yeah, they took him out before his time.
Right.
And a blessing in it was,
right,
man, he impacted a lot of people before he went, before he transitioned,
mm-hmm,
or whatever the case may be.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. And I asked that, too, because you guys are the same age as well, man. I know he was 33.
Yeah,
he would be probably,
yeah,
34 now, so you're both the same age,
yeah,
as well. So that's another reason I asked that question. But thank you for,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I was even hoping, too, because, see, he's from the west, side of the 110 freeway, and I'm from the east. Like, I was state earlier.
Right.
So it would have been good, man, because a lot of people don't know. It's just different on each side of the 110 freeway, man. The east side, we move a different way,
right,
than they do on the west side.
Right.
But I always thought of plans of me and him coming together and bridging a gap and bringing both of that east side culture and that west side culture together to really make a change for the community, for South Central Los Angeles.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I just wanted your take on that. I mean, that's all. I'll turn it over,
yeah,
to Queen Jean. I know she got a lot of questions for you. Go ahead, Queen.
Hey, JT.
Hey, what up, Queen?
Listen, I've met you personally maybe three times. I've met you personally. One time I actually,
mm-hmm,
hung out with the whole Thompson family at your dad's birthday party when they had the Stillers party.
Yep.
And that's when I really,
yep,
yeah, that's when I really had my observations on all of you all. You know, if you remember, I was sitting down a whole lot, wasn't doing too much moving about, but I was checking out everybody. And,
yeah,
your family,
yeah,
very genuine, humbling people. Good, fun people. I love you all. So I wanted to just say that. I met your mom through Jackie on Facebook, and our attraction was our short haircuts and our Steeler Nation. So that was our attraction,
mm-hmm,
to each other. But I love you. I love your family. Speaking on the old school music, I remember your dad shot me a video of you guys doing the dramatics, Welcome Back Home. And I was like, oh, my God, if I was in that audience, I would have probably just lost my mind when you guys were doing that, because the lip sync was right on time. So that was dope, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. And also, let's talk about your film, Writer for Life Films. How did you come up with the title of that, Writer for Life?
Well, Writer for Life has always been in effect since, I think, 2001, when I first started doing music with my rap group, my brothers, my high school best friend, or whatever the case may be. And we just came up with Writer for Life, and then we have been doing music for the past 10, 11 years. And then once the music stuff started slowing down a bit, that's when I kind of transitioned more into the filming aspect and just kind of gave it, you know, Writer for Life Films. And how we came up with the name Rider in L.A. and South Central, you're a rider, like, you're not a Crip or a Blood, but if you're a rider, that means you got people from both sides. That's Crips and Bloods.
Right.
You down to ride with either side. Yeah, exactly. You down to ride for either side. So we kind of switched up the meaning in that to turn it into something positive, meaning you ready to ride before a positive cause. And nothing and nobody's going to stop you from making that positive impact and doing what it is you love to do, whether it may be music, producing beats, filming, dancing, spoken word, writing or drawing pictures, whatever it is you aspire to be, as long as you're putting your all into it and nobody's stopping you from it, then you're a rider. You know, you stand on your path that God has chose you to walk on. So that's how we came up with the whole Rider for Life thing, to be a rider for life.
And speaking of spoken word, oh, my God, Kendon, is how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Kendon. Yeah.
Yeah, Kendon. Yes. Oh, my God. His spoken word is, woo, he is just, I love it. I love his spoken word poetry. Yes, he is,
that
he is great.
Gifted, man. That brother is
Yeah,
gifted.
He is gifted. Yes. And let me just say that, speaking of gifted, you were born with a gift. And I say that to say this. You said that you was at church and MTV came there to do the, came to the church.
Yo Mama.
And that's how
you.
So, and then from there, things just start happening for you. That was the Most High's plan, to have you just where you are up to this date. That was the Most High's plan. So that's why I say you were born with a gift. And yes, you do have an old soul. And also, when you said the bottom of East, is that like the Naomi and Hooper area? You're speaking of that side of East LA?
Yes.
Okay, because I grew up over there. I didn't grow up over there, but I lived over there, too, because we moved around. You know, you move around. You go from Compton, Watts, Eastside, South Central.
Yep.
So, I've been all around. So, we lived over there, too, off of 25th, actually, by Jefferson Park. So we stayed over there. So that you're right.
Yeah,
they
all the bottom.
Consider that the bottom.
So, you know, I'm sure you remember what it looked like down there.
Yes, because we stayed in one of those big houses. It was like a big house. So it was like big houses over there. They were two stories. So, that area over there. Can you let the people know your film, Hands Up, Don't Shoot? I know what it's about, and G. Lou know what it's about, and we know, where it comes from. But can you let the audience know who don't know? Because we're going to make sure that they check it out as well.
Okay, thank you. Well, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, we created that film, I think, 2-3 years ago, and it was written by the Griot, who's a writer, one of our strongest writers who's a part of Writer for Life Films. But he had wrote it based on, when he told me he had wrote it, he had said that he was watching the news and on social media, and I forgot who died in that year, but somebody got killed by a police officer. And he said when he got on his social media, he was just blown away because a lot of black women start saying, "We appreciate you, black men. We appreciate you, black kings. We love you. We're here for you." And he said, "Why does it take for us to get shot dead in the street for our sisters to appreciate who we are when we meet them every day?" And we sat down and we came up with the idea of like saying, we need a story that's going to show the everyday situations that we go through as black men. Not in South Central, not only in New York, not only in Chi-Town or the down Southwest, but everywhere. If you black man in the United States, you go through this. You wake up in the morning, you get into it with your girl, get into it with people at the store, you know what I'm saying, because they racist. Then you get hit by the cops, and whether you're a Crip, Blood, Vice Lord, GD, whatever, you're getting pressed on by people that's your own color, your own brother. And they're not trying to hear. They're not trying to hear no stuff. This, it ain't the 60s no more, so it ain't peace like that with them. They looking at, they looking to take. They looking to take everything they can. You know what I'm saying? Whatever they may be going through. So that's what Hands Up Don't Shoot was solely based on. In addition to being a dedication project to Marcus Smith, who was gunned down by Inglewood Police Department. So it was just kind of, man, like basically a cry out project. Like, look, this is really what we go through, and this is every day. A lot of deaths that happen like that, but you guys see no Hands Up Don't Shoot, don't get televised. I know my uncle's, none of his stuff really got televised like that on a national scale to where, you know, other people would see it that could have potentially helped or been there for him. Because I remember when it first happened to me, I reached out to my church, didn't get an answer from them. You know, I emailed them, didn't get an answer back from them. I was reaching out to so many people who I thought really was for the people, and it turned out that they wasn't. So me and my family had to figure out a way to fight. And then when you're going on all these marches and protests and everything, we did all the marches and stuff for about 6-7 years, and we start seeing the numbers dwindle from 100 to 60 to 30 to 20 to 10 people at these marches. And it just got sad, man. So I kind of took what DeGrio was writing with his concept, and I said, okay, we need to really make this different and include some kind of rhythmic flow to it where it's not just your average short film, but let's do it in a spoken word fashion to just kind of tweak it a little bit. And then that's how we end up coming up with Hands Up, Don't Shoot. So it's really a heartfelt, educational short film that we did, if I would say.
And for those who are interested, Marcus Smith is JT's uncle, and you can Google his name and find out anything that you need to know about that whole incident. Because I actually did, so information only for that. And also, because I'm going to ask you about each one of your films that I'm familiar with, Frank Blue. Inspired Frank Blue?
Yes. And I remember you had grabbed your copy, too. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
And also, if anybody's interested in watching Hands Up or purchasing it, you can go on Amazon.com, and you can, you know, just type in Hands Up, Don't Shoot, short film, and it'll pop right up, you know. So now Frank
Blue, we'll roll that again.
What inspired me to do Frank Blue, the film was actually written and supposed to star someone else in the film, but the person that was supposed to star in it ended up getting shot and killed or whatever. So the story had ended up sitting for about 2 to 3 years. And then another co-star that was supposed to co-star in the film ended up going to jail for 5 years. So a lot of bad things start unfolding around the project, not because of the project, but just because, you know, just different things and different circumstances. So one of the guys that's in the film named Doughboy, that's his performance name. But in the film, he's KO. He's a heavyset, dark-skinned guy who was Frank Blue's friend. He ended up saying, you know, Jay, let's go ahead and do the film, man. Let's just do it. It's a great script. I think we should do it. And he helped motivate me to end up doing it. He talked me into playing Frank Blue because I just wanted to direct it. But he ended up talking me into playing it. And then we got to submit it in film festivals, man. And people really loved the film. They loved it, you know. So that's how Frank Blue ended up coming about.
Is that what you got the award for Frank Blue?
Yeah, we received a lot for Hands Up, Don't Shoot, and then second Frank Blue.
Okay, yes.
Yes,
and
yes,
also,
so we won a few awards with Frank Blue.
Yeah, I've seen the clip on that too. My favorite, oh my God, the street sweeper, the council. You said,
oh,
I am the street sweeper. That's a cold movie right there.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And it couldn't come at a better time than this right now.
Right.
Which is crazy.
That's what I said. It's so relevant to what's happening today. So is that also on Amazon?
No, we haven't released the council yet. The council is going to be released later. Yes. That's going to be released later this year, for sure.
Okay.
And we're going to have a private screening for that too.
Yeah, that's a dope movie right there. Also, just
thank
a question.
You so much.
What would be your message to first time actors or actresses, what advice could you give them as far as if they want to become an independent film writer, producer? What would be a message that you can give to anyone that's listening? Advice?
Excuse my French. I would tell them don't.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. I would tell them, though, don't listen to the bullshit and the nonsense. And the nonsense and bullshit are the naysayers and people who are going to persuade you that just because they failed at something in life, they're going to try to talk you out of something that the Most High may have for you. And it may be your family. It may be your girlfriend or boyfriend, whoever. But if you know, and you know something is your calling, when you can't resist doing it, and it's not only about you. You know, that's when you know it's a part of your calling and your purpose, is when it's bigger and beyond you, and you're actually touching people in the process of living through your purpose. That's when you know something is for you, when you can't eat or sleep without doing it. And that one thing, whether it may be singing, whether it may be acting or doing films, it makes you happy. You feel like you can't breathe without doing this. To just keep doing it and pursuing it and block out the noise, block out the noise. And use the naysayers as motivation to keep pushing, but do not stop. And even to the actors, the first-time actors that are out there, I know it'd be difficult because, you know, going on auditions and trying different things and being nervous. I always tell my first-time actors, act like nobody's watching. Mm. And if you notice, that's just my way of saying, like, you know, when you're in the shower singing, you singing to the top of your lungs. You don't care if you're off-key, you flat, none of that. You singing your heart out. You might even be blending in with the music, because I know I do it. You know, can't nobody out shower sing me. I'm that nigga in the shower. You know what I'm saying? But just act like, or when you're in a mirror and you're staring at yourself, you reenacting scenes and doing that. Nobody's watching, so you just, you're completely you and transparent without feeling like you're judged or like you're doing this and that, but just act like nobody's watching. You know, act like nobody's watching. And even to the filmmakers and even artists that do music, man, tell your story. Don't follow the trends, but be a trendsetter. Be that new, be who you are. Can't nobody duplicate you. Tell your story. Mm. Any way you want
to
tell it.
Be authentic. Yeah, be authentic.
Be authentic.
Yeah.
Be authentic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good advice. Good advice.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. We got any callers, Gila?
Nah. Well, a couple, but they didn't press one, so it's
okay.
All good. But it's all good. We have a conversation with JT. We don't need callers. We need this story. So continuing on, JT, man, kind of piggybacking off of what Queen said about the short films, and I want to ask you what really, well, you said once the music slowed down, you got into it, but what really made helped you get into the movie aspect of things, and not only acting, because you were already kind of doing that, but getting behind the camera and directing it. And how were you able to make these things happen? You spoke about going to the film festivals. And how were you introduced to all these things and given the information and the knowledge to help you pursue these things in the correct way and get it done the correct way, not on just some, you know, back some you know, some low-key type of shit, but to really put it together the way you did in an incredible way?
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to do that?
Thank you. Man, I think with me, man, it was all I had to learn by trial and error, because after when I came off of College Hill, I, you know, studying how they was directing and doing things and seeing the message and how powerful television is, I didn't realize how powerful television was until I did reality shows and seeing how people took this created character, however they edit me to be, how they took that one thing. And they just, this is you for the rest of your life, JT. You're a cheater, or this is you. And I'm like, damn, I'm like, fuck, this TV should really be having people think that. And I'm like, man, what if we can change the narrative, though, and the stories we tell are really about educating our people in positive. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If the negative can do it, the positive got to be able to do it. But it's just how we do the positive. Because sometimes positive storytelling can come off boring. So after, again, trial and error, my first movie, man, I was reaching out to so many people to see if maybe they can mentor me in screenwriting and how to write the script and how to direct and everything. And school wasn't really moving as fast as my spirit was to put out projects. Mm-hmm. So, man, I had to just self-educate myself, man. And what I did, I started going to Barnes & Nobles. I started getting books. Hell, there was a few books I even stole out of there that was based on directing, you know,
right.
Directing and screenwriting. So I basically self-taught myself a lot of these things. And it was crazy, and that's when the trial and error came, because I didn't really know how to do no casting calls and cast the actors. But we did it in our first audition for my film, Deafblind Association, had over 500 people there, you know, and that was my first time doing a casting call. So I think too, G Lou, if I could be frank, man, I've always been like a leader type. So when I played sports, I was a team captain. If I was on a project, man, in school and college, they always wanted me to be the one to get up and speak. And you know, that's all directing is, man. It's just leadership.
Different type of fundamentals.
Yes, right. Leadership, man. And just storytelling. Again, when I seen the power and how much film can sway a person's belief and mindset, I'm like, man, if I do films, I gotta tell the truth. All these films gotta be authentic. Yeah, the comedy stuff and all that is cool and it's funny. But, man, my people, we getting dumbed down too much. So where we so dumbed down with the poisonous bullshit, we don't want to be brought up to taste nothing else because we don't think nothing else is out there.
Exactly.
You know? So,
all your films are realistic. They're reality, and I love them.
Man, them shits is...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I even,
me too. I told Queen today, I watched it over... And over then I plugged other people with it, you know what I mean? And they were just like hitting me right back, like, man, that shit was amazing. It's like, so you're touching people you don't even know you're touching right now, bro. So it's like the film is taking off. I know it was out a year ago and all that, but you it's going to be reintroduced to a lot of people because I'm going to push it, you know what I mean? And just you be on the show with a lot of people. My followers are going to check it out. And like I said, just even me, I'm going to watch it again like that. Hands up. I kind of got on to the other one a little later. The Council, that's incredible too. I'm like halfway through that, and that's incredible.
Thank
but
you.
I was just so stuck on the Hands Up, Don't Shoot.
Hands
because
up,
let
don't
me
shoot.
Tell you, man, that movie, short film, is incredible because it. I'm glad it was a short film because it did what it needed to do in that short amount of time. It wrapped everything up like it started from the brother waking up with his girl, you know, and everybody watches that. If you are not only black, brown, whatever, from the inner city can relate to that movie because we all go through that in some type of way. Mm-hmm. And then I love how you put it in spoken word as well. It's like the whole shit was incredible, bro. But from the brother waking up with his woman chastising them and a female even asked me, damn, is that really how it is they do go through it, but I'm sure women don't know what they're doing either, you know, because she really loves dude, you know, but they don't understand. Yeah. It's all shit that's programmed and got us to where, because like the dude said, if you really listen to what he was saying, you'd be watching these reality shows and that shit influences you, and most females do. I went through that shit.
They do.
My ex-lady, it's like we all go through that and they don't really probably know what they're doing, you know, and then the brother got to go outside and walk down the block and get pressed by the homies over there, you know what I mean, then go to the store. And get what, even though he said he come in the store all the time, never stole nothing, never had no problems, but they still treat him how they treat him. Then he got to go walk up the street and be pressed by the police. You know, all of us have had all of these situations, so you touched on all of that and wrapped it all up in one, and then the homie winds up getting killed. You know, it's just like crazy, man. That movie there is incredible, dude. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And that's the reality of it, man. We go through that shit every day. And a lot of young ladies don't know, man. You're not being my talent, though. You're not being a solution. You're adding to the problem.
Yeah.
When I got white man,
dude, want to go out because that shit can work on you. So now you want to go out and try to do whatever by any means, and then you wind up in some more shit trying to do that. And it's all bad, you know, and it's just like
it's all bad.
Lady got to understand that, you know what I mean? But I know she's pressed, too, because she wants you to do better, or she got bills, or she may be holding it down and while you ain't working. It's a lot that goes into that, you know, but we got to just find a little bit more common ground. It's the way you do it.
It's the way that a lady has to bring it to her man, though. It's a way that you bring it to him. And to speak on that, my nephew is doing time now because his wife pressed him and said, "You got to do something. You know, you got to get your ass out here and do something." And whoop de whoop de wop. So he went right there in Long Island up on 10th on 10th Street at 7-Eleven in broad daylight, and robbed him. with a gun.
Wow.
And it was an off-duty cop that came in, but the attendants knew him because he was a cop. And they asked him what happened because they seen my nephew rushing out. And they asked him what happened, and he said they just robbed us. So he gets in his POV, you know, his own POV, and he follows them down the alley and just gets a license plate. So in roll call that night, this is what was the briefing. They talked about the robbery that happened at 7-Eleven. So my nephew was up early in the morning getting ready to take the kids to daycare, and they drew down on him. And he's in jail now. He's in jail now from that because he was pressured by his ex-wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he felt like that was his only thing to do because she said, you need to do something. And that's all he knew how to do, to be honest, was that's what he knew how to do. You know, so he felt like, I have nothing else to fall, and it is sad. So, yeah, that movie speaks in volumes. It does.
Yeah.
You know, it could have just been like, I got this, I'll hold it down until you can get it together, because it's not easy for a black man to go out there to get a job when you're a felon. You know, it's not easy.
Yeah, not at all.
And that's what he was at the time, you know, so,
yeah. It's hard. It's hard. But women, too, got to understand, too, because especially when you got somebody like the brother that was portrayed in this movie, he was a real good dude. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to understand, when you got a good dude opposed to just a dude that really just maybe he ain't trying to do it. There's some dudes out there that just ain't really trying to do nothing and just living off the female and just kind of sorry.
Yep.
You feel me? So women got to understand when they got them a good dude. Ain't going to do nothing. You feel me? But women got to understand when they do got a good dude that is trying to do something, you got to uplift him. And not always bring him down. You feel me? Because he is really trying to pose to this dude that ain't trying to do nothing. So we gotta understand those two factors. And women just got to understand this more. Stop being influenced by your homegirls or whoever's in your ear. Or like you said, a reality show and all this. And understand we got a good man. You know what I mean? Because we falling real short right now. You know what I mean? It's real short on us right now, man.
Real talk. Real talk.
Yeah. Real. Okay, so real That's woman real. To recognize that, though. You know, a real woman.
Yeah.
To recognize that, you know, a lot of old school women are like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't do that. You know, but you got these younger women who's not old school and wasn't raised old school. That's gonna have that mentality. Get your ass out and do something. You know, so when you that's just how it is. So I feel for brothers that go through stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel for them because you're supposed to just have their back until they can. They now, you know, if you can recognize that you got a good man and you know that he got the potential, then don't ride him.
Yeah.
Don't ride him.
Right.
You know, uplifting. You know, be his motivator. You know,
be his inspiration.
Give him a reason to want to get up and just like, you know, get out there and try to make it happen. But if they wake up and you like the girl in the family, you just start nagging. Well, damn, you know, you can't do that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because
now you're going to push him away.
Yes, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to push him away. You're going to push him into the streets. You're going to push him into doing just, you know, what happened. And then once he's taken out, then you just feel like a piece of crap.
You fucked up.
What do I do now? He's gone. Like she said, my baby, who's going to be there now? You got to think about all these things. It's just like when our sisters call the police on our brothers. You know that this is a black man. You're calling the cops on them. You know what the consequences are going to be. Most likely they're going to come out like the brother in Leimert Park that got killed because the sister called the police on him. This was years ago. She called on him for domestic. They come up and they just take him out. And she said herself, I wish I never would have called. Well, don't call. Don't be so quick to call. I'm not condoning domestic violence, but just don't be so quick to call unless you just don't give a damn if the police gonna come and take him out or not, because it can't
happen. Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? Put a Band-Aid over that shit. Don't let his ass come back. That's it. One of the
Change a lot.
Do something like that, but don't risk his life and then risk your memory. You know, like this is all you have to, the last thing you got to think about. Well, if I wouldn't have called the police, he would still be here. I don't condone domestic violence, but so people who's listening, I'm just saying to our sisters, you got to think, you have to think when it comes to our brothers, just period. You have to think because of what can happen.
Right.
Yeah, so I get passionate about stuff like that.
Right. JT, I want to ask you, too, again, back to the film, The Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Another thing I like that you added in that movie, just the whole narrative and how the spoken word. But I like how you added how everybody who he had a problem with that he felt was a problem to what he was trying to do, getting pressed by the homie up the block, the lady in the store, his lady, you know, even the cop. At the end, you seen how everybody, how it all came back full circle, you know what I mean, and were saddened by what happened to him or seeing what's going on with him now and feeling bad, just like Queen said, that they had a part of not believing in him or played a part in, you know what I mean, his
yep.
what his problems were. And then to see him die, they all were saddened by that. You know, you brought that full circle
yeah.
as well. So that was incredible as well. Just so many things to this aspect to this film that you did. That you made happen, man. That were important, you know, for people to see. So again, I commend you on the film, as well. And I want to ask you, homie, being that you're a young man, 34 years old, you know, what can you say or what are you doing in your community or abroad to I don't want to say change. You can't influence or change anybody. You know what I mean? You could just try to just lead by example. But what would you say to your generation right now, man, the youngsters out there? Because that's really where, you know, we're having the most problems and a lot of people are lost. A lot of people didn't have the foundation you did, two-parent home, and know the things you know, you know, so they're out there just lost, man. So what would you say to your generation right now, man? I know you're showing them through film and you're showing them. You're doing it. You're doing the work. But what could you just say right now for the people listening or that can take from this?
Man, I would definitely tell, man, just my generation and the generations after me, man, like, don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose sight to what's getting ready to happen, or don't lose sight in the Most High, because a lot of people hear that and be like, ah, that's some cliche shit, but it's not, it's real. Our generation, we don't have a Malcolm X. We don't have a King. We don't have a Dr. Khalid, Abdul Muhammad. We don't have certain specific leaders that a lot of other great generations have. But I feel we may have better ones because they set the pathway to show us what to do, how to do it, and what not to do it. Even if we talk about Huey P. and Bobby Seale with the Black Panthers, they showed us the blueprint on how to do it. You know what I'm saying? We need to take the positive from those and look at the how to and the how not, and then we just need to move. We need to move underneath the surface, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because now we got this generation. Everybody want to be at marches on their phone, showing that they're marching. Like, if you went to the march, or you just want to be seen and show what you're doing. That's not
the
real fight.
It's a,
I feel like
that's
the real fight.
That's a thin line. That's a thin line.
Yeah, yeah,
especially
exactly.
with the social media and all that.
Though.
People just want shit to be seen, you know. So it's a thin line
on
what's real and what's not, and what how sincere people are.
Yes. And
don't let it be a trend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't let it be a trend. And I tell a lot of my teammates and comrades, just really know who you are. Know yourself. Either you're going to be on the front line, the sideline, or the back, or the opposite line. Because a lot of people, and I ask them, man, are you really willing to die for what you're fighting for? Because it may come to that. It really may come to that. And if you are and you're comfortable with that, then let's put it together and move. Because like the council, it's something being
created. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. it's something being ready and creative. But us as a culture of people, we talk too much. We talk too much. And you never supposed to let your right hand know what your left hand doing. We constantly
show the
rights and everything what our plans are. You know, we got to be more quiet, man, and be more deceptive as they are, how they are with putting poisoning in our food and in these vaccination shots and all that other bullshit. They're not going to tell us how they're going to kill us. They just do it, and they do it diabolically. So we got to start over, and we got to become diabolical like they are. Hell, and I mean, they've been our enemy for so long, we should know how to defeat them. You get what I'm saying? But we don't, we don't want to defeat them because we're so subservient to the bullshit that they've been giving us for all these years. You know? When I talk to my young brothers, man, that's in the street or that's gangbangers, I say, man, do you own this block of this neighborhood? Nah, but this my hood. Nigga, you get killed today or go to jail, nobody's going to put your name on this motherfucking street corner. Nobody's gonna do that.
It's your hood.
It's your hood. You know,
but even the hood is not the hood no more. You see what's going on in
Gentry? It ain't.
I mean, come on, let's keep it real.
Yeah, they changing. They kicking us out and moving us to other places. Like I tell them, man, and I know this applies to every hood, man. It's really a concrete jungle out here. It's really a concrete jungle. you know, and it's sad. So I tell all my brothers, man, just and sisters, you got to really truly identify who you are, what path the Most High has set for you to take, and lead by example. You really want to do a protest? Know what you protesting for first. Self-educate yourself. A lot of people, we just move because everybody else is moving. And we don't know why we're moving, but we're moving.
Yeah.
We're moving because everybody else moved. With no purpose.
Yeah. With no purpose. It's to be seen.
No.
It just becomes part of a trend, you know. That's why I said I'm really curious to see what's going to happen, you know, in a few months or 6 months from now. I'm really curious to see how this is all going to play out. I just want to see. You know, you said something in your movie, The Council, that's real. It's really real about secrets. Mm-hmm. His brother told about the family secret. And he looked up and he was like, wow. You know, that's real. If it's a family secret, a secret is a secret.
Why are you
don't tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't trust somebody who tells a secret. So, you know, if it's a secret, it's a secret. Yeah. So when you said
secret,
that, I was like, wow. That's some real spit right there. You know, I was like, okay. Your godmother told me to tell you hi, Jackie, and she's listening to the show, and you sound amazing,
man.
And you're doing a great job. So she just texted me and told me to tell you.
So I said, I love you more. I love you more, Mom.
Yes. Yeah.
What up, Jackie?
Appreciate that.
Hey,
Jackie.
JT.
That's what's up.
What up, Jackie?
Yeah.
Hey, JT, I want to ask you this, man. We're speaking about your generation, past generations, leadership. You know, and this is something I ask everybody, but, you know, especially you with your generation and the younger people, where do you think about leadership now? Where are we going with leadership? We all know this is my generation, Queen's generation, you know, so on and so forth. Where are we going with the leadership now, and who's going to step up to be that? Even though we can't just put that on anybody, but I want to know what are we doing as a culture for our leadership, because we don't have it anymore. There's nobody. We still got probably Al Sharpton, the last one left, and no, you know, nothing against Al because he's still doing his thing. He was at the George Floyd funeral. He's doing his stuff, but you know, we need new leadership at this point. We all know this, but we don't know where it's coming from. You know what I mean? So that's my question to you. What do you think about leadership? Who can be the next person to lead us? And we really need a younger leader, because these youngsters, what I will give them, man, it's like we have some real powerful youngsters and a lot of knowledge and education. The youngsters are the future. That they always say that, but it really is the future now, because the youngsters know how to make things happen, know about this technology, but it's really a big part of what's going on into the future, this technology. You know what I mean? And but we need some new Black leadership, or just leadership, period. So my question to you, where do you think that would come from? What do you think about leadership and who can lead us, opposed to the older leaders we had? And the second part, I want to ask you, with the filmmaking, being that you got into filmmaking and directing, who are some of the, if any, directors or great directors or people in film that you looked up to? Just like I asked you about music. Is there anybody in film that you respect?
Okay. So for the first question, as far as leadership, man, we, you know, the real leader for this next generation is going to be someone who doesn't have anything to lose, because you can't be the man who has nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
Right.
And this leader, and I'm not self-proclaiming myself there, because I'm more about action. So I'm one of those. I'm going to show you better than I can tell you about leadership. But it has to be a person who's going to call the so-called, quote-unquote, Black leaders throughout the athletes and all these people, who someone who's not afraid to bite their tongue, no matter what.
Right.
And that's going to say, I know y'all going to try to come kill me. I know the bullshit y'all going to try to do. But before y'all do, I'm going to get all this out. I'm going to wake as many people up as possible, so that if I should die, you thought that Rodney King was something. Wait till this next set of rider. You thought the guy that just passed away, this whole thing that we experiencing now, you think this something, this next leader, they gonna turn this whole country upside down. Because of this, we already had countries paying attention. Now they really got the microscope on what's really cracking down here. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be a leader like that. Just someone, man, who's not afraid and really know what courage is, man. You know, even in the Bible, if you look at a lot of biblical stories, with Job and Daniel and Paul, a lot of them lost everything in the midst of what they were doing, and they had prices on their head. Malcolm X, he wasn't afraid to take that bullet. King wasn't afraid. A lot of these dudes, they talk tough, but they're afraid to take that bully. And it doesn't even have to be a physical bully. It could be a mental bully. It could be a spiritual bully. It could be a financial bully, which a lot of them are afraid to take. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be a leader, a real strong black leader who ain't got shit to lose and that's ready to lose it all to wake up his people. And I think that's my generation lacked that because, you know, I'm just going to be frank. For example, like this whole Drew Brees stuff. A black man just got hung. He just got publicly lynched. And you going to tell me you don't respect somebody who don't fuck you, Drew Brees. I won't be catching no more of your boss, buddy. How about that?
But he tried to come clean it up. But like you said, that's really how he felt. So it's already done.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you said. That's how you felt. He tried to clean it up, but you said how you felt already.
Period. And that's one of thousands of them in the NFL.
Right.
Hey, but let me ask you this. JT, do you think what really made me look at that Drew Brees thing and it really made sense to me is to think that I think what's really going on with some of these people like Drew Brees and America, period. A lot of these white people are just America, period. I think this brought a lot of light to it with the George Floyd thing, is that they really just just don't have no clue. See, because those people live such a different life and never experience any of this police route, anything with the police. They live a happy life and all of these things, and they believe in the flag and these things, all this shit, right? But they never experience anything, so they're clueless to what we're talking about. So when we're saying these things and what we feel and what we're doing, they can come up with a response like that. Like, what do you mean? It's about the American flag and the military. Because they have no clue about what we've been through. So, of course, they're going to come and say, oh, well, this is some bullshit. Or how can you disrespect the flag? Because we don't live by that, bro. We live a whole different life over here that you've never experienced. So it's almost like they're ignorant. You know what I mean? To say, just really to be real talk, it's like they're ignorant to this shit. So when they say stuff like that, I think it's more so them being ignorant to what's really going on. So then when they get checked and now want to come clean it up, or when they see this dude right here get a knee on his neck for 10 minutes till he literally dies in front of us, for them to see what the homie Kaepernick meant when he kneeled. You understand?
Yeah,
so,
yeah they didn't
what
understand
do you think about
that at
that?
All. No, they didn't understand
well,
that at
I mean,
all.
Man, my take on that is I think a lot of them, including Drew Brees, I think they know what's going to happen. They just turn that blind eye. And I think he looks at it like, the man that just passed away, he's just a regular nigga. But let one of your wide receivers or running backs get pinned down like that. Drew Brees would have probably tackled the dude. You get what
I'm
saying?
Right, right.
Or let Zion Williamson or one of the athletes your four sons look up to, which are black, let one of them be having a knee in their neck, and you watching your kids at home crying because one of his favorite athletes is getting publicly lynched by people. So I think they get it, but it's like, why y'all making a big fuss about it? Well, I can't respect nobody who doesn't salute this country and all that. It's like, man, fuck this country, because little do you know Drew Brees, because of your grandfather and great-grandfather who fought for this country. Did they tell you that they was racist too? That it was niggas fighting alongside of them who they didn't like? But they just dealt with them because they were fighting in this war. So that's the thing. They try to play that game with a lot of these young athletes who don't really know their history. That's why it takes a real leader to wake them up and say, you know, put the game down, put the joystick down on the game, and put this book in your hand. This is how your quarterback's great grandfather treated us back then, treated your great ancestors or whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of them things. And I knew he was gonna try to come back. Football season rolling over. He forgetting he got thrown to the same color person.
Right.
He just low-key.
Right.
Yeah. He can, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So it's like, I fucked up. Let me clean up this spilled milk I did, and everybody can be cool and we can say kumbaya. It's like, nah. And I respect a lot of the athletes in there because, man, when I was playing football, it was a lot of Latinos on my team. We didn't do no racial shit. And when we did have a big race riot, I wasn't letting none of the gangbangers jump none of my Latino homeboys, and they was doing the same for some of the black dudes who was getting cornered on my team. They wasn't Latinos wasn't letting them get jumped. And it's supposed to be like that. That's a brotherhood.
And that's another thing I'm glad you spoke about, the black and brown thing in L.A. Because, you know, as you know, we all were raised and came up together with none of those issues, even though they're issues, it's just life. But how it's portrayed now wasn't the case. But it's politics, political shit as well that spilled over into the streets from whatever case. And Now you got the black and brown thing, always heats up, dies down, heats up, dies down.
Yeah.
But again, it's like we're the minorities, homie. It's like we're really a lot of the same, you know, even though we don't want to admit that. But I think it's a pride thing that gets in the way of what we got going on. But the real ones know, you know, your real friends are your family. We grew up, and it's just like, but we still have these things that come along with the black and brown thing. What's your take on that whole aspect?
Well, I know for sure, man, a lot of our people, our culture don't know us as blacks. We really closer to Latinos, and they closer to us more than they think. So governments and the whites, they went back to their little chat room and their boardroom and said, how can we take the two strongest forces, the two strongest races that's taking all the jobs, that's taking all our, taking over our sports, that's making these clothes, and that's the hardest working. This is too much. How can we stop the two strongest forces? Let's turn them against each other so they can be fighting and beating all the time. They did it in the prisons, in the pen, and they doing it on the streets. And it's sad, man, and I think it's due to the fact that we're ignorant of how close we are in relationships.
Yeah.
And we don't know it.
Yep.
You know what I'm
we
saying?
We don't even know it. And it's that pride, too.
Pride, yes. Yes. Yeah. And, it takes leadership down here for somebody to go speak to a Latin OG, a Latino OG, you know, because where I'm from, man, I'm going to be real. They in cage, and in cage stands for nigga killer. A lot of Latino gangs do not like blacks, you know.
Right.
And when people come to me, a lot of my gang-banging homeboys, it's like, man, fuck Mexicans, fuck this. And I always challenge them and say, well, did you grow up seeing some Mexican gang members beat up your mom and dad? They like, nah, hell no. I'm like, you got to understand, some of these killing Mexicans and Latinos, they grew up and seen black people beating up their moms, beating up their dads.
They were picked on.
Going in their stores robbing.
On.
We were picked on.
Yeah, they were picked
so
on.
So it was one of those things. Yeah, one of those things. Like,
where the shit turns around and the numbers are up.
Yes.
It turns around. That's all that is.
It turns around. It's kind of like how we was doing them in L.A. or how we used to do them in L.A. is how the whites used to do us, period.
Yep.
So it's like the person who was getting bullied ended up turning into a bully.
Yeah, that's all that is. That's all that is. Because you can see the races in different places. Like me, I grew up in L.A. and grew up with Mexicans, you know, everything. And it was not like that till later. But you can go somewhere else and see where it's a Mexican presence. Like I'm in Atlanta now, and it's a lot of Mexicans here, but they're humble. It's none of that because none of that shit is taking place yet. So you don't see any of that.
Yeah.
You see the same thing, the beginnings of how it was in L.A. early on. Without all the bullshit,
because
ain't no politics. You can see just the natural love, and it ain't no hate. It ain't none of that. It's just all love, and you can see that. You know what I mean? But that's the difference because it's none of the bullshit in there.
Yeah, and I believe it's possible too, G Lou. I ain't gonna lie, man. I think it's possible that we both can come together, and I think that's when all hell is gonna break loose. Not for us though. That's when it turns.
No,
out.
For the other.
Exactly for them. And they're gonna do everything in their power to keep us attacking each other. They're gonna do everything in their power. When you hear about senseless killings and everything, man, it don't be number undercover cops going and shooting up in this hood.
Yep.
Being messy, sending the police car over there and saying, "Oh, we just heard Wookie Wop shot y'all shit up. Y'all gonna let them do that?" And then drive off. Now you got this hood saying, "Oh, fuck them Latinos. We gonna go over there and let off." Now they going over there shooting up there. Now it just keeps it going.
Right.
And now you just got generational curses of death and hate and hate and hate and hate and hate. It's like it's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah. But JT, you are on the east side, homie. Born and raised on the east side. And now I know you've seen recently, even though this is way before you, but it's been going on for generations. But we have a start where you see like the certain people coming together, mainly Latino and black gangs like the Florencias and the East Coast, and now they're trying to bring some other gangs and people together. What do you think about that and what that could mean, you know, in the long term?
Man, when I heard about that, that's a blessing because you're talking about two of the most deepest gangs.
Yeah,
on the
deepest
east side,
gangs on the east side. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, in the F-13. And when I heard that, man, it took a few days for me to process it because I know the bloodshed has been for years, man. You know, but when I got word that it was for sure. And it was getting solidified. It was a blessing, man. It was happy. I was happy. It was like Christmas for me. Because being from that, and when you're on the east side, you gotta tread lightly where you go. 59th Street on the east side, you may be close to the 59 East Coast, but you go a street over on 60th, now you're F-13 hood. You're in the Florida.
Right, exactly.
Now you got an issue. Yeah. You got a big issue.
Yeah.
So when I heard of that, I think it was a beautiful thing. And I, again, they know we kind of talk too much. So you got the hard-headed little YGs who don't want to follow suit, and they're like, nah, fuck that. And some may have reason.
Right.
Because, again, the bloodshed that I talked about earlier.
Right, and they're still on the front line. You can't tell them because they're dealing with the shit. So it's understandable.
Yeah, still on the front line. Still on, they soldiers.
Yeah.
They still on the front line. And
yeah.
they trying to hear shit nobody talking about. You know,
right.
But I think with just a little positive persuasion, man, it can grow to be something bigger than what that little peace treaty was, where, you know, maybe the Largos and Compton can get along with the Mona Parks, and, you know, just all these, the 18th Streets can get along with the 39th Street, the Harlem Crips. I think it can be something big where we all come together. And like I said, once we do, all hell gonna break loose. So the powers that be are gonna do everything in their power to prevent that. So we just gotta, I feel, we gotta go to our little chat room, how they did with us for all these years, and we just gotta come up with a master plan. Fix ourselves first, fix the black community first, fix our culture first, and then we can go to our allies, our cousins, sit at the table and figure out how we gonna come together.
Right.
And you gotta learn. You gotta figure out a way to stay ahead of the game.
Exactly.
Definitely.
They are ahead of the game. All this stuff that's happening is mapped
structure.
out. You know what I'm saying?
Structure.
Yeah.
Structure. Mm-hmm. That's what we kind of lack. That's what we kind of lack. And like you said, structure, leadership. It's hard. I think as powerful as we are, that's one main thing. We don't understand the power we have. And that goes from the streets to the politics to the sports. Even the Kaepernick, what we were just speaking about, is 80-90% of the NFL is black, homie. So if we understood the power that we had in that, we could make change, but people don't do that. So you got Kaepernick leaning, one or two people kneeling, and then the rest of the dudes not doing it, so it leaves them out there. But these dudes don't understand the power they had. If they would have did it with him, it could have had a bigger impact, and he could still be good. You know, so, and then that goes on to the streets and to the prisons as well, why we, it's hard for us to keep structure, because like you said, the Mexicans, why they were able to build and do what they did, they had the numbers, but they had the structure. We as black people don't believe in structure. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing, so you can't really never have a real leader, because nobody wants to follow a leader. Like, can't nobody tell us nothing. So that's really our main problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find some way to understand how to take or not even orders, it's not telling somebody what to do, but just get structure, you know what I mean, to move forward and build as a unit. And that's what we always lack,
so
I think, to this day. Yeah,
that's
we're too prideful. But that's been our problem to this day, to why we haven't been able to move forward while everybody else has came in this country. You know, not only Mexicans, but everybody, every other race, even Africans, our brothers have came in here and did better than we have. And we still over here looking, you know, like lost. And you know what I mean? Because we don't have structure, I think, you know. But we are so powerful. We just don't understand it.
Yes. And I think, too, man, when they influence certain people, quote-unquote leaders, whatever, they false leaders with ulterior motives behind them. Or they'll only go so far. They're not going to take the extra step. They'll go just far enough to cause a little ruckus to the powers that be, but not too much. But they kind of send up false leaders, man. Here to come up and do all this. My thing is like, Al Sharpton, now you at the funeral, why you step up when he first got killed? It took you that long?
Right.
They had to book you for the funeral?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that's why I mentioned that leadership. There's some bullshit with that. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, so this is a whole lot of BS with that.
Yeah.
We just need new leadership. No disrespect to Al, because you've been doing a long time. Respect, brother, but I mean, we just need new leaders, because there's too much shit in the game. Come to them cats like that. It's too much shit in the game from then to now, you know, that we can't decipher. We don't know what's really real, where it's bullshit, and where you trying to, like you said, we don't know. So we just need a whole new clean slate. We need real leadership, and we need somebody to lead this younger generation, and somebody that these other people in power respect, because Donald Trump and them don't respect Al Sharpton and them, you know, like that no more. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
You feel me? They laughing at the homie. So it's like, we need something, man. We need something. We need cats like you, JT.
I know for sure. Man, oh, I'm here, brother. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. So,
yeah.
And that's all I was saying about Nip. Nip was one of the leaders, too.
Yes.
Nip was one
yes.
of them leaders, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir,
and
he was.
You know, it was, and that's why
but they kill
sad,
us before
man,
we get,
because,
but they kill us right when we about to look back on it, right when they about to make the real, because you had Malcolm X who kicked up all that dust and did all this stuff for the nation, but once he really found knowledge itself and really on that path and about to do some real shit, they killed him. You know what I mean? Martin Luther King, he done all that, what he did when he was really there, they killed him. Nip, he kicked all that gang shit, and you know, which everybody couldn't get down with, like you said, because he was screaming 60 so much, but he had really had an underlying mission, and he was about to get there.
Real
you know,
talk.
The stuff he was doing
real
with the
talk.
STEM shit and the all that property and where he was really about to go, then they shut him down. Sent one of his own.
Yeah, real talk. Real talk.
You know?
I think, too, man, with us, man, we are real embraces a set of people, man. We embrace different people. We embrace so much to where our spirit of discernment is so off. So we attract people in our circle that we may feel and think got good intentions on us, but they got bad intentions. So that's why I said,
right.
man, just reading books, the Art of War, Art of Seduction, different things. I said, oh, okay, this is why the prophet that be said, a white man said, if you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in the book, because all they game is in the book. So let me take 20 steps back. Let me start self-educating these kids at 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11 years old on up. And if you want to be the smartest and have superpowers, you got to get that mind right. So start reading all the shit, you know, the shit that they're trying to hide from us or that they hid from us, you know?
Mm.
And seeing that in people. So all that knowledge that I've been getting, I just put it in certain places for us to understand. Like you guys understand the council and hands up don't shoot. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I think with us, we've been so far out of touch, we've lost our native language, speaking and understanding each other because of the poisonous bullshit. So I'm like, he put it in our native language where everybody that's woke can really understand what I'm saying. Let me put it in this music. Let me put it in his films.
Right.
So after they see the film, you know, we had a screening in San Diego. Some of the brothers came up to me and they was like, they 40 and 50. They said, hey, man, I like what you did with that movie. I know what you're talking about. We ready, though. We ready. And I'm like, oh, you get it? They're like, yeah. And it kind of gave me that whole feel like this movie called The Spook That Sat By The Door. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Nip said that in his song.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on now.
Exactly.
Come on now.
So the film was speaking a native language that only certain brothers can understand. So they know when it's time, it's time. It's time.
And
my spirit is something is high, so I'm not gonna invite no people coming up to me. You know, I got a very, very small circle, man. A very small circle.
Yeah.
So I'm not allowing no sambos.
As you should.
Sambos are coming in my
as
circle asking questions and doing all this. If you don't get it and don't know by now, you'll never get it. So don't even worry about it, brother. Don't worry about it.
That's right. Man, powerful, powerful. Queen Jean, I want to let you come on in and ask the homie any more questions. Then I want to go back to him and ask. I mean, let him give any shout outs or give any anything out there he wants to put out for the people. That he wants to put out there. Any plugs or anything that he wants to promote or anything like that. Then I want to go to the song that he left. Well, but go ahead, Queen.
Well, I actually don't have any more questions. I just wanted to tell you, just thank you for, like I said earlier, accepting our invitation. It's been great conversation and continuous prosperity and greatness and to you and your family, and salute to all of the cast that's in all of your movies, because everyone does such an amazing job, and keep putting all those films out, these films of reality, because all these are reality. You keep putting them out, I'm going to keep patronizing and getting them, because there's some great films. So
thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. When I come to California, I'm going to make sure I come by, of course. So
that's right.
So, peace and love and hugs to the
Thompson family. You and G. Lou, man. Y'all both got to get a bar.
I'm check you out, bro.
He will fit right in. Just like, you know, it's like when you go to their family functions, you feel like you've been knowing them forever. Oh, Lisa right, yeah. said there is a yeah. call. Your mom said there is a caller on hold. They just text me. So there is someone on hold
okay.
for JT.
Well, tell them to press. Because we got a, nah, we have a lot of callers
one.
Out there. Yeah, they got to press
well,
one
just,
so I know they want to speak.
Text her and tell them to press one.
Because we got a lot of, the shit is lit up, JT. You got a lot of people called
okay,
in,
let
but
me
they
just
don't
press
them one.
Press
so I want to let them know if you want to speak, press one, and then we'll know you want to speak. But some people just want to
okay,
listen. So
crazy.
Thank you to everybody who tuned
yeah.
in, whether you're on the phone line or if you're listening online, because this shit is all over the world, JT. So everybody from Japan
thank
to land is listening. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the show, man. We really appreciate it. But, yeah, we'll take this caller.
And I just want to thank you guys. I just want to thank you, G.U.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Jean, so much, man, for really having me on here. This is a blessing to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's,
oh,
it's
thank
a
real
you.
Blessing.
It's
I appreciate you guys.
It's
a
blessing,
blessing
to
us,
bro.
Too, JT.
Yeah, well, we
truly
got real
is.
People on here, and we can get a real story and real, like, information, and we got young brothers that are kings and leaders like yourself. I love these type of shows, bro. So
thank you,
it's a blessing to us as well, homie. So likewise, homie. But let me take this caller. 562, you're live on the line. Hello.
Yeah, my name is John. Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What up, John?
How you doing, John?
Hey, everything's all right. I want to ask Jay, is he got any upcoming projects coming up?
What's going on, John? How you doing, brother? You good?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm just relaxing, man.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, like I said, the film, The Council, that we were talking about, it's going to drop later on this year. You know, the pandemic and everything kind of pushed everything back from our original screening date. But The Council will be coming out later this year, as well as a web series that we just completed. It's a comedy-based web series called Ujima's Village. Real funny, super hilarious.
Ujima's Village, okay.
Flavor. Yes.
I know,
yes,
right?
Ujima's Village.
It's just funny. It's funny, man. It's
so is it taking place
also,
in the village?
No. They take place in the village.
Oh, okay.
Definitely
no.
not.
Oh, that name. When you say that, you
man,
know, it's like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the female that's starring in it, her character name is Ujima. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. You threw me off because
yeah.
you know you say that and what I'm thinking about. Okay, but go ahead, bro.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I already know. That's L.A.
Okay.
That's South Central right there.
Yes, sir.
But,
yes, sir.
Right.
Ujima Village will be dropping at the end of summer, and next year, at the top of January, we'll be releasing another college-based project called Unapologetic. That's a dope project
okay.
as well. So two web series going to be coming back-to-back. And then we're going to be dropping a Black Love Story February 14th, Valentine's Day. So those are the projects coming up. As far as the film stuff goes. Yes.
Okay.
John, did that answer your question, John?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. You guys have a good evening.
You as well,
right, thank
sir.
You, John.
You too, brother.
Much love, brother. Yeah, shout out to John.
I just told your mom to tell people to press one.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
if they want to speak. Yeah, if they want to speak, press one. JT, just like Queen said, we want to help and everybody out there to help push the push, you know. So is there anything anybody out there can do? Not saying you need no handouts or none of that shit. You're doing it. But is there anything anybody can do to help the movement and push it forward or help it move forward in a quicker direction or quicker way that you want to make this thing come? Is there anything anybody else out there can do to help the movement or anything that you would like to put out there?
Man, just please, man, two simple things. Number one, keep me and the Rider for Life team in brand of prayer. Pray for our longevity, our safety, because this message that we pushing, it's against, you know, the powers that be, because we don't fuck with them at all, you know. So usually when you pushing that line like that and being a frontline soldier, you know, sometimes it's a target on you. So please pray for our safety and our peace and just our sanity, man, because you can understand when you're attempting to drain so much poison out of this generation, they kind of fight you against it because they want that poison. It tastes so good until they get a bar of real truth and what it is, man. So just pray for our strength as far as that. And second, whatever content we put out, really give us that genuine feedback. If you hate the film, tell us. If you love it, tell us. Share it. Push it, you know. I've always been the type of person, if I charge you $10 for a movie and you pay for it and you don't like it, I'll give you your $10 back. I'm just satisfied with the fact that you even watched it and sat there for an hour. I'm going to give you your $10 back and I'm going to ask you, what things can I do different as a director to what type of film you're interested in. You might say horror film. All right, what kind of horror films you like? Let me see if I can do a horror film that'll spark your interest. I'm going to keep coming at you because I'm going to touch you in some shape, form, or fashion. It's like that with my music. You know, the type of music I do, it may not reach a lot of people, but those that it reach, I'm grateful and thankful for just for taking a listen to it. So
right.
Keep us in prayer, you know, and support the movement. Share our stuff and follow us on at Rider for Life Films with a Z on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that. Follow us and really catch our journey and see what we out here doing.
And where is your music at?
Well, my music, I got some projects, older projects on that film. However, I'm releasing some new stuff that's coming out in 2 months. Yes.
Okay.
So the track that I gave you guys, that's what's going to be one of the singles that's going to be implemented on this new project. And this project is called The Spook That Stepped by the Door.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Great conversation, JT.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed hanging out with you.
Man, likewise. I enjoyed it with you guys. Y'all made my Saturday.
Oh,
incredible,
that's
brother.
Awesome.
Incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible. This is classic, and I want to let everybody know this is live on Blog Talk, but it will be rebroadcasting on Blog Talk. We'll put it on our YouTube channel, which is the G Lou Show on YouTube. And also, this will be broadcast on Spotify, Apple, all of the major platforms as well. This is episode 23 of the podcast, and this is our special guest, JT Thompson, artist, director, you know, actor, all of the above. Please, please, please go support his channel on YouTube, Rider for Life Films. Hands up, don't shoot. Man, I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. Go right now, when we're done right now, and go over there to Rider for Life Films. Hands up, don't shoot. Check that one out first. You know, and then you can get familiar with everything else he's doing. But support that, man. Please support that. Tell him you won't be disappointed, man. And again, tell them about the music, JT, where they can get the music at, if it's out there, what's going on. We got anything new coming with the music? Let them know about that again, too.
A lot of music that I have, you can catch it if you just type in J-A-Y space 5-T-H on YouTube. You'll see a lot of my older stuff. This new music, Spook That Sat By The Door, is a great musical project that's going to be coming out in 2 months. So, I mean, just check, look up, Google it, Google J-Fifth, hear it, and it's going to be dope, man, because it's going to be on Spotify, it's going to be on iTunes, every streaming platform, it'll be out then in 2 months, for sure. And I can be followed, too, as well at on Instagram at IamJ5th, IamJay5th, and that's on Instagram. Catch me on there, spitting the truth, spitting the real, and talking shit.
Yeah,
and also
that part.
Let them know about your movies they can get on Amazon as well.
Yes, Hands Up, Don't Shoot is available at Amazon. You can just type in Hands Up, Don't Shoot, the short film or movie, and it'll be the first thing that pop up on Amazon. Please check it out.
I'm definitely going to go get that myself.
Don't rent it. Buy it. Buy it.
Yeah,
check
buy
it. Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely don't want to rent that. You definitely want to buy it. It's good for when you can have company, when this pandemic is over, you have company. It's a good sit up and watch film.
Yes.
So definitely do not rent.
Please.
B-U-Y. No renting.
That part.
It's not. It's worth it to buy. Yeah. So go check it out on Amazon. Buy it. And I'm definitely going to go in there and get it to have it in my library.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Gotcha.
There it is. JT Thompson. Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen. And JT, before we go, I got this song, man, we want to play. So please take us to the song before we get up out of here. And let them know what this is about, man, and what's going on, and we'll take them out with this right here.
Okay, cool. Well, this is J-Fifth featuring my brother Afrikandon, who was starring in Hands Up, Don't Shoot. This is the song is titled Uncle Tom's Devil Pie. It's a powerful revolution-type joint. This is about being open, attacking the non-conscious people. So it's attacking ours that don't want to wake up and don't want to stay in the house. And don't want to come out with the field ones, you know what I'm saying? And it's attacking people that don't know the power that we got. So it's one of those things. It's the single off the new project that'll be on in 2 months, The Spook That Sat By The Door. So I pray y'all love it.
Oh, wee. J Fifth, y'all.
Right.
JT Thompson.
Yes, sir.
Thank you again, brother.
Peace
love
and
you,
love.
Homie.
Yes.
Episode
23.
You did that, bro. Peace and love.
Appreciate, man. Love y'all more and appreciate y'all.
Appreciate
yes, sir.
You
keep
too,
it up,
JT.
Homie. Keep up the great work.
Always,
stand
brother.
Up guy. Let's go.
We gotta stop living and die. 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 40 acres in the mule really ain't enough. Why the cops is killing us every day, huh? And we settle for chump change to gain a buck. We worship money over Christ, fuck faith, huh? This shit is lame, huh? We brainwashed and turned up. They keep us dumbed down so we never change up. Our brain fucked up, mentality is actually spaced out like Guardians of the Galaxy. We trade integrity for the price of sanity. I'd rather try to make change and they laugh at me. Uncle Tom ass Sambo nigga, Lambo nigga, reality TV for the fame ho nigga, serving out your own kind nigga for some prime time, a nigga sell his whole soul for a little shine time. We ain't the same, we ain't the same, yeah. These niggas is lame playing the game, I guess they want you to say, Jay you can't say, shh be quiet, stay out of master's way, we gon' spit in except for what he pay. We's not no slave and master is okay, 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 fuck the reparation, fuck police brutality, fuck the segregation, fuck the show roots and birth of a new nation, all is forgiven for what this country gave us, fuck that, I'm Nat Turner with combat, you can't even imagine what we taking back, you either falling in line or you falling flat, the revolution is here, it's time to strike back, fuck your airplay and your fame, don't measure me, on another level, energy is on that frequency, oh my God, tip, pray on me, but you ain't seeing me unless you got faith, even then you can't get rid of me, Lord, have mercy for the wicked, kick it, you listen to five, but yet you still don't hear it, death to the blind, but food for thought for redemption, I move by the soul that's led by the Holy Spirit, I hate that our women is all good being bitches, policing their vanity just to pose for the wicked, cheating their bodies, took it in for the witness, who copy our style and use tokens for the business, damn, a reparation for the gays, but y'all owe us, we went to school named after slave on us, with no respect because they feel they own us, they plot and plan why social media control lust, I can lead you to water, wanna have a sip, it's gonna hurt when you swallow, it's pure shit, so take advantage of the knowledge, while they slip, Uncle Tom's catching on, and snitching quick, translating everything they don't get, the rapper God coming soon to end shit, so on that note, before I go, I'ma say this, get right or get left before the shit hit. Before the shit hit, get right or get left before the shit hit.
Sit down, don't even get up, our shit is fucked up. Sit down, don't even get up, you lit and turned up. Sit down, don't even get up, our shit is fucked up. Sit down, don't even get up, we lit and turned up.
Like, cuz, nigga, why give a fuck about all that extra shit, cuz? It's crib, I don't give a fuck.
We too high.
Like, fuck all that slavery shit, nigga, that's back in the day, that shit ain't happening now, nigga.
We too high.
I'm worried about the bag, nigga, fuck that, I'm trying to get that bag, fuck all that extra shit.
We too high.
Man, fuck all that conscious shit, I'm trying to feed my people all this poison as much as I can, nigga.
We too high.
I know. We too high to balance out the lows. If only we sharpened our minds for the same reason we sharpened ours, we'd have more than war stories to leave behind. But we much rather stay high and mobilize, driven by the desire to survive, cause being alive just may not be enough to get a slice of that pie. What if, for every seat that's filled at the table, another generation was left disabled? See, wanting to be accepted has become more important than creating. Now exactly, what do we transform every time we conform to a system where separation is a norm? Not a damn thing. Separation is an illusion. See, in order to feed the people, we have to feed ourselves. And in order to feed ourselves, we have to free ourselves. And in order to free ourselves, we have to know we're captive. It's all your noose, black man. See, you want a slice of that pie, huh? We need that oven. Burn this bitch up.